This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Discover Lafayette is recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions, a technology company located in the Light Center in Lafayette, Louisiana. Raider offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. Today's focus is on the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra and Conservatory of Music. We're joined in the studio today by Dana Baker, Executive Director, and Rachel Sudel, their Director of Development. Both women have a rich background with connections to music, and this is a wonderful opportunity to learn more from Dana and Rachel about the many musical events, educational offerings, and cultural enrichments made available throughout Acadiana by our symphony and conservatory. The symphony, led by Maestro Mariusz Smolgi, kicks off the 34th concert season on Friday, September 28, 2018, with 9 performances scheduled through July 5, 2019. Our Acadiana Symphony is also only one of 2 symphonies throughout the U.S. associated with the Conservatory of Music. There's so much ground to cover, so I'd like to jump in and welcome Dana Baker and Rachel Sudel to Discover Lafayette.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I've been looking forward to this. So the symphony, I think, is one of our biggest cultural assets. And some of us know a little bit about it. I doubt that most of us know the full extent of what you do. So if we can start with Dana first and kind of talk about an overview of the symphony and maybe tell us about your role with the symphony, because I understand that you and Rachel both joined in 2016. So maybe we can talk about your background and jump into the symphony.
Okay, so I was with Festival International for quite a few years, and it was a great experience, and I it's the thing that rooted me here, because I really wasn't originally from here, but I volunteered for the very first festival, and so my parents wanted me to have things on my college application of, you know, what community oriented things were you doing when you were in high school. Well, that was my thing, and then, you know, years later I was there director, music has been a huge part of my life. I can't carry a tune.
So no singing today
anyone listening. No guitar playing, and certainly no piano playing. But I have an ear for things that people do like. And so that's kind of when everyone else was growing up wanting to be Whitney Houston, I wanted to be Clive Davis. So
got it.
So that's kind of my jam a little bit. Coming to the symphony was a completely different experience for me, because I literally know nothing about symphonic music. I know that I can appreciate it, and I know that every genre of music today, every note played, nothing is new. Everything ties back to the founding fathers of classical music. I know that, but I didn't really have any deep understanding of that. And Mariusz really helped me to kind of get into that and figure those things out for myself and have a little different appreciation for it now that I work there. And so it's been definitely a learning experience for me.
But, you know, I'm thinking from a nonprofit perspective, not everyone can play the violin. Sure. Someone has to organize, promote, sell tickets, and keep the lights on.
Absolutely.
So we all bring something, and I know
I like to put the puzzle pieces together. That's kind of my that to you.
Right. So Rachel, tell us about yourself, please.
So I also have a huge love for music. I grew up with musical parents. They were professional musicians, and I'm also not from here, but have been here for about 20 years, so I'm kind of from here now.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
I absolutely claim Lafayette as my home.
Right.
My 2 kids have been brought up here, and I love the music culture here. Was huge for me when I first got here. Coming from musician parents and watching them struggle to find jobs or struggle with live music venues and all of that, to come here and have it a place where it is completely embraced and celebrated and constantly available is incredible. So I love that about Lafayette.
Right.
Coming to the symphony, I, too, knew nothing about symphonic music except for a Bugs Bunny experience,
right.
United commercial. I knew about that.
Right.
but really nothing technical about it. But I love classical music. I love listening to it, but I can't have much of a conversation about it. So yes, Mariusz has been wonderful in about the background and the stories and the composers and who they are and what was going on, when they were composing this music. So it's been quite a treat to work there.
His enthusiasm is beautiful.
Oh, yes.
It is.
He just brings so much to our community.
And the great stories he'll tell about, different things. We did an event last year called Symphony in the Sky, and we're doing it again this year, and kind of bringing the more more pops feel to things. And, he learned English by transcribing Beatles lyrics.
Oh.
And so he was in a Beatles cover band, and that's how he learned English. And so our first Symphony in the Sky was kind of dedicated to him in that way, because we did a bunch of Beatles covers and whatnot.
Right.
And it's fascinating to hear all his stories about all these places he's been, where he conducts, and he's internationally renowned, right? And but he knows these little details about these composers that I would never
right.
know. And it just makes me have a deeper appreciation, because we all have a story, right? That's what makes this culture here in Lafayette so rich, is that the stories are kind of all intertwined. And it's the same, just a different time period.
Right. Where is he from? Where is the maestro
Poland.
From?
Okay. Poland.
So that's how he learned English.
Yeah.
Right.
Isn't that cool? I think it was cool.
Yeah. And of all things, the Beatles.
The
Beatles. You don't get any better than that.
I mean,
that's right.
Right.
Right. In my mind. So let's, jump in. Let's first talk about this year, the 34th anniversary. So I didn't know how old the symphony was here.
There was a lot of great things happened 30 years ago. And that time frame, festival was born, symphony was born, PASA, the Arts Council. I mean, all of these great things were born out of a terrible economic time in this community. Kind of like where we are and where we're coming out of now, right? And so I think it's a beautiful thing that this community invested in arts, in the arts, at a time when maybe it didn't seem like it was a really smart thing to do.
Well, I think it was a brilliant thing to do.
It was brilliant,
but
at the time,
pleasure,
right, well, at the time, maybe it didn't seem that way on the outside, right?
Right.
And so this community needed something to feel proud of. And all of those organizations did just that.
They did.
It gave us a
right.
sense of pride in a different way than we had before. And I think it's a testament to this community that all of those organizations are still alive and well and healthy and moving forward and being a little more progressive in things that they try out and do for the community.
Right. So what is the focus this year? Is there a theme to the 34th?
Passion.
Passion
is our theme. Music and passion and love and all of those emotions are kind of all hand in hand. And so we had a big powwow earlier this year, I guess, about we wanted to do something a little bit different. And emotions connect us all, right? We all have similar experiences, and those emotions kind of make you more attached to those things and people. And so we said, let's have something that's a little more into our feelings. I know nobody likes to talk about that, but into those types of feelings. And he came up with a beautiful season based on that. And so because of our patrons in this community, because of their passion, we can orchestrate our passion, right? And it just fit beautifully. And to cap it off with, we start with Carmina Burana, which is a beautiful piece of music that I have recently learned about. but then we end with Lauren Daigle, which is such a huge deal for our symphony and for this community. The last time she performed here, she sold out in 24 hours.
Oh.
And had she been available, I think they would have done another date. But that didn't necessarily work out. We are lucky to get her for two dates. And this will be the first time she's performing with a symphony, which is such a great deal for us.
So that'll be in July 2019.
Yes, next July. Yeah.
So it's a series of seven performances for the
for the
season. So would you talk about that, Rachel? If people are interested in all this, do you buy tickets one performance at a time, or do you buy the whole season?
You can, but I mean, season tickets are the way to go because it's very cost effective. Plus, you get those select seats that you want.
The little discount always helps. I like a discount. Yeah, right, I love to save money.
A little discount.
Yeah.
But especially with our season finale and how fast we know that that's going
to
sell.
To ensure that you have seats.
To ensure you get to see her, you definitely need to do at least a pick three that includes her concert.
Okay.
And that's all available on our website right now.
Right. So people can just go online to acadianasymphony.org. And
they're all super affordable too. We've made sure we look at pricing and what does the world compete with, right? Like, you're competing with soccer games and high school football and
movie theater,
staying home and watching Netflix.
Netflix is probably huge.
And so we want to make it a date night is difficult to do under $100. Well, you can do that with us, and so you can do seven of them a year, and brownie points shoot to the roof, right?
Can I ask what tickets cost if you just get maybe not the front row seat?
Well, we have the maximum price is $49. Lowest price is $25.
Okay.
So literally for any budget. And then there's discounts for first responders, educators, students,
veterans,
seniors. I mean, there's we want to make it affordable for people to come and experience it, because once you do, there's nothing. I can listen on my iPhone all day long to music. I can listen to music in my car, but that live music experience, I think, is I know places like Austin are known for these things, but Lafayette's different, right? We're clearly different, and I think seeing and experiencing that live music, we experience live music so much here, so it's just that one step further.
Right. I'm friends with Lauren Baker,
your
violinist.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm just pulling her name up because I know her well, but it's fascinating to watch the musicians, all the different types of, instruments and the maestro and everybody literally in symphony. I don't mean to misuse that word, but it's so beautiful.
The violinists are just, and
the flute. I don't know what's the best instrument.
Well, I'll tell you this. I did not know that there was such a thing as this thing called bowings, right? And so I did not, they all move the same direction because it's all mapped out. Well, I did not know that.
Really?
And
like a dance?
Yes. I was fascinated that, they had markings on their sheet music that told them when to do what. And I thought, they're just following the music. No, I was wrong.
It's so much more
than that.
Right.
Yeah, it really is art. It's artistic. Mm-hmm. It is a totally different level of art.
So there's something for everybody, it sounds like, in this season.
For sure.
Are there some, performances that would be more, I don't know if the term is earthy, but type of music that we would all know, for the Passion series?
Sure. Well, The Love Actually, I think, is probably one of those. It is in February. And there's a gentleman from Ireland. And he also, in addition to the Vivaldi that he'll be doing, he'll be performing, he also has these arrangements of Bob Dylan, U2.
So people can know.
Yeah, Prince. I think there was Prince too or something.
So.
Yeah. And so that's kind of a cool thing. And he's easy on the eyes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not that we're looking.
Of course not.
No.
I'm listening.
Well, I want to encourage people to go to your website, acadianasymphony.org, and look at the, look at the price structure, see who's performing, and get your tickets now.
Yes.
So, yeah. Well, there's so many other things that your organization does, and I love the Conservatory of Music. Both of our girls actually took piano. We live by the Oil Center, and we found it was so not only convenient but cost-effective for lessons. And I know that all types of lessons take place.
Right.
Would you talk about the conservatory? Because I understand we're one of only two symphonies in the U.S.
I think we may be down to the only.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're maybe down to the only. And so lessons from 3 to 93, right? Mm-hmm. We have a young demo, but we also have quite a few adults that take. There was someone recently, I think he 81.
Yes.
And
what instrument do you know?
It was the flute.
Flute.
Yeah. Flute. And it was a bucket list item.
Mm-hmm.
and he just walked in and says, I want to learn. Okay, we can help you with that. And we have quite a few working adults that come in and their lunch hour and learn piano and guitar. And
that is so cool.
Yeah, it is super cool.
Yeah.
And we have all sorts of lessons. There's all kinds of instruments that, you know.
Instruments vocal, everything going on.
Yeah, after 3 o'clock in our office,
it's
something.
It's busy, yeah.
It's really loud.
They still have a a recital.
Do
the older people do the recitals too?
Yes.
Or is it just little people?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then also through my relationship, my previous life, right, at Festival, we perform for the first time. Our youth orchestra, which also functions under the Conservatory of Music, got a spot on a real stage, the TV5 Mon stage on Saturday, prime time for that type of slot. We were really excited to get that. And so now it's kind of an annual thing.
That's great.
And
yeah.
The kids were so excited to perform for someone maybe that was not their parent or their grandparent or their, you know, their small sphere of circle, their small circle. Now they're performing in front of people that never would have even known that these kids exist. And we were approached by Steve Riley and Roddy and a whole bunch of others about, this is the coolest thing. Mm-hmm. How can we help? And so we're really excited about that partnership because it gives our conservatory kids and adults a path to kind of follow. Oh, maybe we can perform with this particular group. And so we're excited about that.
So the youth orchestra is composed of your students and they try out?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it
they audition?
They have to pass muster and be able to carry a tune.
And I think it's from third grade to 12th grade.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
So do they perform in other venues?
They do. Lots of them.
They have. They've done the Junior League Luncheon.
Right.
They perform for them.
Yes.
As well as we did a give back.
Oh, at Grub Burger. Mm-hmm. That's once a month that they get to play. And there's quite a few other little, smaller little venues that they get to do as well.
Right. Let's take a break if we can for a second. I want to follow up on the Youth Orchestra, but I'd first like to thank one of our sponsors, LUS Fiber, who was recently ranked by Harvard University as number one in the nation for price savings. A trailblazer in community broadband services, LUS Fiber can serve your telephone, internet, and television needs. For more information, please visit LUSFiber.com. Thank you, Jason, for sometimes I get so into the talk. I'd have to thank our sponsors. I'm so grateful for LUS.
We understand.
Yeah. So, Rachel, you had sent me a lot of photos of, you know, the youth performing, and you really focus a lot on the youth, not only with the orchestra, but with Do Re Mi and other things. So is that the bulk of your focus with the conservatory? I know you said you have some grown-up students, but it sounds like the majority must be the younger students.
For sure. I mean, we want to continue to broaden that educational footprint that we have here in Acadiana. And, you know, those kids are our future.
Right.
They're our audience members. They're our performers. They're our lovers of music and appreciation of music. So to have them even just experience, you know, the bit with us, to take it into band later on, or to come into the youth orchestra, or to take it into college, and that's what we love and we love to watch.
And it helps them in school too.
Lauren
Baker explained to me that however the mind works to learn music really helps in the math and sciences.
Oh, definitely.
And then their composure.
Problem solving. Mm-hmm.
Right, problem solving. Mm-hmm. So, well, good.
We love that.
So I'll be sharing photos too online. I really love some of the photos you sent and would love for everyone to learn more about the Symphony Youth Orchestra. And then I just mentioned Do Re Mi. I know that's a program that's at the Truman Early Childhood Development Center.
Yes.
And you have two professionals that teach 5 30-minute classes integrating music into the school's plan, right?
Right, their curriculum,
plan.
Right. And so they plus on what is being taught in the regular classroom. Mm-hmm. And so if they're learning numbers 1 through 10, they incorporate that into their music lesson. And it does even more. And I think these are things that are kind of underrated, that we spend so much time measuring math and reading and language, all important. However, self-awareness, creativity, mm-hmm. confidence, these things are imperative to even get to that next level right. of being able to test for these other important factors. Mm-hmm. Those intangibles are everything. And we this program allows them to have that experience. The kids come out of their shell in such a way, we've had parent testimonials of that they didn't even know that their child was had this type of personality. They just, their personality kind of blossomed in that 1 year. And it's amazing, you know, when you're 3, 4, and 5, you change so much, right? And you learn so much. And so they are, you know, just kind of continuing on that path. And it's been beautiful to kind of watch, because I didn't really know about the program when I first started. So to kind of see that now, and we're actually working with an organization out of Baton Rouge to bring to Lafayette an after-school music program that is even, this may be even more in line with our core mission of learning to play instruments. Mm-hmm. And it's an after-school program that kids get to take the instrument home that wouldn't necessarily have been able to afford coming to the conservatory mm-hmm. or a private lesson or anything like that. So these group lessons, they do everything from help them with homework, give them a snack. It's such a wonderful organization that we kind of met each other in the middle. Mm-hmm. And they're excited about coming to Acadiana, and we are so honored to be able to, we're working really hard to make this happen. So hopefully in the spring, it'll be a done deal. Right. We can announce all of those fun things.
But, so not just at Truman, but throughout the public school system?
The public school system probably won't start until the fall, mm-hmm. but we're going to look at some other opportunities mm-hmm. just to kind of get a trial run.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, when I was coming up, school was so different, obviously. I mean, now it's all about testing. And while we had tests, we would have fun singing, even your ABCs.
Oh, yeah.
You learn.
A multiplication table. Yeah. I learned that.
5, 10, 15, 20. Yeah,
I still do that when I'm trying to figure out what's 5 times 9. I don't know. Let me go through my, you know.
My girls are probably going to hate this. We used to always sing around the house. We're learning, you know, and it just makes it fun and it sticks.
Well, you remember.
We forget that the music and the arts programs are really the glue for those core subjects. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the song is why you remember, you know, your multiplication tables and how to spell something.
Junction.
Mississippi, right?
Exactly.
I'm just a bill. I mean, like, I know all I know about the Constitution because of Schoolhouse Rock.
Well, you want to sing that?
No, I don't.
I'm curious.
Brushing your teeth, about yuck mouth. I mean, remember all of those mm-hmm. things, but because they were put to music, just like today, you can play a song that you heard 40 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 minutes ago, mm-hmm. and it takes you right back to that place, right? And you know, you remember. And then it's tied to emotion, which is everything is kind of tied to emotion.
Yeah. Right. Right. I know for me, too, it's sad for me to look at the school system and think these kids have, you know, they're under so much pressure to pass tests. The teachers are under so much pressure to have the kids pass tests.
Yeah.
That there's so little room just for these fun things. And with funding cuts to boot, you know, to
you can't cut yourself to greatness. It's impossible. It doesn't work.
Mm-mm. And I really believe that art, music, you know, they transform a community.
Absolutely.
And for these children to have this is so important. So I want to take my hat off to you. And
we're excited. We're honored to be part of the organization that helps to make that happen.
Thank
for
you.
Sure.
Well, I have one question for you too that I want to ask you. Is there one thing that you want people to know, or maybe two, you know, what are the things that you'd like people to know more about when it comes to the symphony?
Okay, the thing I would like people to know more about the symphony is that things that I thought were important that you had to do before you could actually go to a symphonic performance are I don't have to know anything about it. And number two, I don't have to dress in floor-length sequins to go. So it was a huge epiphany that I came to when I first started. So I think that people don't have to feel like they're not welcome if they're not dressed a certain way. You can come however whatever you're wearing, we want you. I mean, clothes, but
shoes, no shirt.
Well, you know, flip-flops, and whatever you've got on, we want you to experience the symphony.
Right. Any thoughts, Rachel?
The same thing, just that you don't have to have a history or knowledge of the piece even being played. You just have to love music. Just come and enjoy it. There's something about being in front of 150 plus musicians, the sound and the feeling, the physical feeling of all that music around
you. It moves
you.
Your soul.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah,
there's totally nothing like it.
Nothing.
So we know it's time for everybody to buy their symphony tickets.
Yes.
Don't worry about what they're wearing. Dress up. Or go casually, enjoy yourself.
Come as you are.
Right, right. So before we close, Jason Sikora from Raider Solutions is here. And Jason, thank you again for making our show so professional. And I saw you over there writing questions, so I'll turn over the microphone to you.
Well, thank you, first of all, for being here and for coming to Raider Solutions for this interview. How long is a typical performance?
It could last anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half.
Okay.
It's not anything over. I think Christmas might kind of push the hour and 45 minute mark, but an hour to an hour and a half.
Okay. Oh,
performance.
Good. And where's your location? Where's the concert hall?
Well, there's so many.
Okay. So it's not just ever in one spot?
No. We have four at the Hyman Performing Arts Center. We have two at the ACA downtown and one at St. John's Cathedral.
Okay.
In downtown.
Okay. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
What was the most eye-opening thing that you found trying to put on a performance, a symphonic performance?
Good question. Eye-opening. Oh, the bowings. Okay, so yes, doing all an event, putting on an event is an event is an event, right?
Yeah.
But really seeing what the musicians have to do in prep to do those performances and to make this event actually happen was super eye-opening. I did not know that it was so choreographed. The way the bows move on the cellos and the violins and all of the other instruments that I don't know all of their names, but I'm learning them. But there are bowings. This phenomenon for me, it's a phenomenon. Our musicians know what all this stuff is, but that it's all in unison and it's all meant to be orchestrated together like a dance. And that was probably the most fascinating thing I have discovered since I started working there.
Okay. What about you?
Most fascinating thing.
Or eye-opening.
Eye-opening.
Yeah.
Or even something that most people might not know. Like, most people don't know about the bowings, right?
Right,
so.
Right.
Honestly, to me, it was these musicians in particular are athletic. Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of practice that they have to do, the hours and hours and hours that they do, and the physical, the odd way they have to position their body with the instrument and holding that instrument and playing it and the breath control and everything. I mean, they're musicians, they're athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought of it that way until I really watched them rehearse and practice and on the stage and where they had to mm-hmm. position themselves, and I was very impressed. I mean, it's a lot,
and it's a lifelong commitment.
It
for
really
them,
is.
Oh yeah.
And you think, I mean, these musicians have been playing this particular instrument mm-hmm. since they were little kids. So.
And if they can play these classical pieces are so difficult, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they can play that, they can literally play anything, which is fascinating to me.
Right.
When you can play things by ear, just forget it. I'm like jaw-dropper.
Well, that's a God-given
it
talent.
Is.
Absolutely.
It is.
Thank you. And my final question, your favorite composer or classical piece of music?
Oh.
Well, I see Led Zeppelin's playing Led Zeppelin music.
or your favorite performance that you've seen so far.
Well, I've had a few. Our season opener last season was my first time as director for a season opener, and it was from Broadway, was that right?
Yeah, from La Scala.
From La Scala to Broadway. And there was so much music that I didn't realize that I knew.
Mm.
And hearing it, and we had a few opera singers too, which just brought the house down. And to know that all of this, I've heard all of these things before. I know what this music is. And so I think that kind of was a discovery too that I made over the progression of this past season. And then probably I think the most fun I have at a concert, it's not really a concert, it's an event. And it's the Symphony in the Sky on top of the downtown parking garage. And seeing these classically trained musicians, the fact that they can play things like the Beatles, mm-hmm. Michael Jackson, and never miss a beat, and it is just immaculate. And so that just, it blows my mind, and makes me love it even more.
Nice. Do you have a favorite?
So last season, again, yeah, La Scala to Broadway was amazing, but we also did Gershwin.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And
yes.
It was, fun. Again, the same yeah. thing, where you've heard all of this mm-hmm. music, and you're like, oh,
walking
okay.
through the Atlanta airport, right? You've heard Gershwin.
That, yeah. I mean, yep. You know, and United was one of the first companies that actually had to pay residuals to own, like a classical
really?
Type of music. Yeah. So that was incredible to listen to. And the guest artist who we had play was
Christopher Goodpasture. Yeah.
He was amazing. A student of Juilliard and Yale. And we got to host him here. And really the best part was when he got to try gumbo for the first time.
Yes.
So that was
we take pride in feeding our people too.
So yeah, everyone, all the guest artists who come in, and we get to take them around town, and they love Lafayette too. So we get to be ambassadors.
Yeah,
which is right.
And then they become
joy.
Ambassadors.
They do.
For
and
sure.
And
right.
I know several of them from last season. We see them posting about us now, still mm-hmm. about their time here. So
trying to ship yeah. crawfish across the country.
That's right.
Or the world.
Oh, yeah. Boudin and cracklins.
Right.
Well, thank you both again for being here. And Jan, thank you for letting me pipe in.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for jumping in. And Jason is a musician. An artist also, so I was curious what your questions would be. Thank you.
And I didn't know a whole lot about the symphony, though. I studied music for 4 years. I have a bachelor degree in music. I've had to study all these composers.
Sure.
And I have a very large classical music collection as well, so I need to...
Well, then you have to come.
Yeah, now, I know. Now I need to come down.
You're definitely coming.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah,
I'll be there.
The thing. Okay.
Yep.
Sign him up.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank you both, Dana Baker and Rachel Sudol with the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra and Conservatory of Music, for joining us. I want to wish you the best as the season unfolds, and you bring it to life for us. You bring your love of what you do to life, and our community is so much better off for having the Acadiana Symphony. So thank you both for joining
us. Thank you for having
us. Thank you so much.
And to our listeners, I want to thank you for tuning in. You can hear this episode and all of our episodes on discoverlafayette.net, or you can also go to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere that you get your podcast, you can find Discover Lafayette. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, I'm Jan Swift. Thank you.